Welcome to Somewhere Out There, the official Maddie zine of Maddie's Rockin' website. Welcome to Volume 1, Issue 2. Seriously, this is Issue 2? Page 1. I got a job, gonna pay the rent. By Matthew Martinez. In February of this year, 2022, I applied for a job as a producer for the Austin Radio Network in Austin, Texas. At first, I thought all the weeks of training I went through was going to be unpaid, which I was fine with. Until one day, I was asked if I talked with the payroll department and filled out my W-2 tax form. This to me came out of nowhere because I was still waiting on them to tell me if I got the job and when I was going to start. I got to sit in on the University of Texas baseball games for the weeks leading up to this for KTXX 104.9 FM, The Horn. I was asked once or twice to operate the soundboard, help the sportscaster get in and out of commercial breaks, make sure station identification played at the top of the hour, and make sure the on-air talent maintain proper modulation. When I visited 99.3 Coke FM, my fortunes changed. First, I met their current producer and sat in on the morning show. For this, I had to leave Floresville, drive to Austin, and arrive at the station at 5:45 a.m. For readers outside of Texas, there is about 92 miles of separation between my house and the station. Without traffic, it's a 90-minute trip. But since Austin has a traffic problem, it takes 2 hours on a good day. Next, I sat in and saw how remote broadcast was fed back to the station. I got to work the soundboard, and I impressed the producer with how fast I was able to pick up and relearn all of the things I had learned at San Antonio College's KSYM-FM. Felt like riding a bicycle. My first shift where I fully operated the board came around May 31st. I would be by myself at the booth at the station, and my producer would be with one of the DJs at the location. The main part of the broadcast went off without a hitch, but because of the last segment going beyond the top of the hour, our commercial break scheduling went out of whack. When advertisers buy advertising time, they expect the station to air their commercials at a designated time, give or take a minute or two. But in this instance, a spot would be playing several minutes after its designated time. If this happens too much, an advertiser could pull their ads from the station and the station could lose money. Other problems, like leaving the microphone on during the music or not broadcasting the DJ, even though you know you should be, it's complicated, have come up. But overall, I'm enjoying my time at Coke FM and look forward to working with them and The Horn with whatever they have planned. Note, Coke FM and The Horn are registered trademarks of the Austin Radio Network. Why a newsletter? Why not social media? See page 2. Page 2. A letter from the editor. Dear reader, I'm so glad to see the silly little publication has made it to issue number 2, and I appreciate you being a subscriber or reading this for the first time. But I can also hear you asking me if I'm on social media. I am, but I don't use it regularly. And I can also see you scratching your head, wondering why I started a website and newsletter instead of posting on Facebook and Twitter. I've been on Facebook since high school, and I've been on Twitter sometime after learning Ashton Kutcher was on it, like a lot of people. Over the last few years, though, I've noticed a lot of whiny butts have popped up or have been emboldened to post their feelings online instead of seeking professional help and treatment either in their community or online. They've also dismissed my type of humor or views and fact-based opinions as inappropriate or unacceptable. I have also seen a lot of annoying, stupid, ignorant, and, for lack of a better term, mentally challenged people spewing their own types of lies that they pass off as facts or do stupid things and try and convince me that it's a good idea, or it's the greatest thing in the world. I dislike both kinds of people and wish not to be associated with either. In this issue, you'll learn where it took me. But to go beyond the upcoming article, don't worry, we'll come back. I promise. I learned about NeoCities, an open source website hosting service designed for amateurs with absolutely no experience in web design that allows the user to build the website and make it look the way the user wants it to look. Where does the newsletter fall into this? Hopefully not on the ground. I have been interested in fanzines and making my own zine by hand as early as 2019 when I purchased a book called Make a Zine by Joe Beal. Later, I was watching an old episode of Wheel of Fortune, you're going to hear a lot of that reading this newsletter, from December 11th, 1995, and Pat and Vanna were plugging the official Wheel of Fortune newsletter called Off Camera. After failing to find copies of it online, I got to thinking about what fan newsletters of old looked like. In February, after finding the December 1943 edition of Line Drives from the Brooklyn Dodgers newsletter, I got the inspiration for how this newsletter could be formatted. Once I opened up Microsoft Publisher, I went to town, and 2 months later, I finished Volume 1, Issue 1. I hope you enjoyed the first issue, and I hope you enjoyed this new expanded newsletter. Signed, Matthew, Matty Matt, Martinez. This isn't a sponsored message since this publication doesn't rely on sponsors, but I wanted to give a shout out to the Old Barrel Tea Company in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They helped me to make some bomb-ass tea. I recommend their Somerville Sweet Tea. Always like fixing a pitcher full of the tea, chilling it in the refrigerator overnight, and serving it over ice. The mint in the tea cools your mouth off and refreshes you naturally. Visit them online at oldbarreltea.com and search Somerville Sweet Tea. That's oldbarreltea.com and search Somerville Sweet Tea. Page 3. My Wheel of Fortune Obsession by Matthew Martinez. Ever since I was a child, evenings never started until KMOL 4, now WOAI, aired Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. In that order, the way God intended. Sometime between 1999 and 2000, Ken's 5 got the syndication rights and moved Jeopardy to 4:30 p.m. and Wheel of Fortune to 6:30 p.m. Now, I'm not sure if this is your situation and you're used to this, but this change caused me great distress. It was then that I started seeking out older episodes. I had tapes consisting of episodes from Groundhog Day 1996, Halloween 1997, and perhaps one other episode that I can't remember. Then, in the summer of 2001, I got satellite TV and started watching Game Show Network. They've aired reruns of Wheel of Fortune since its launch in 1994. Not surprising, since Sony Pictures owns the rights to broadcast the nighttime syndicated version. In the summer of 2001, they were rerunning episodes from Season 7, 1989 to 1990. The first time I saw these episodes, my face lit up. These were all new to me, and I relished every rerun I watched. That Christmas, GSN aired their holiday-themed marathon, and one of the episodes was a Wheel of Fortune episode from Christmas Family Week 1992. I felt a different vibe from this episode, but it still felt good watching it Christmas morning. A few months later, GSN started airing episodes from Season 6, 1988 to 1989, and these felt different. It was still the wheel I love, and it was probably more familiar to the wheel watcher of yore, but something was off. I did enjoy watching Wheel's first trip to Radio City Music Hall that was broadcast November 1988, but I kind of felt the magic was gone watching Wheel on GSN. I still enjoyed watching, but not as I did before. Fast forward to 2008-2009... I started a YouTube account and started finding old clips of Wheel of Fortune that uploaders had recorded from GSN. As soon as I found out how to download videos, these received regular viewing on my iPod Nano 3rd generation. Once Sony Pictures got wise to what viewers like me were doing, they started requesting uploaders to take down these videos. So, they did, and they took their business to sites like Dailymotion and Vio. Sometime later, I learned about the Internet Archive at archive.org. Sometime later, I created an account with Buy a Vowel Boards, an unofficial Wheel of Fortune forum, created by a former contestant and a dedicated wheel watcher. I then learned some users started uploading full seasons onto YouTube and Dailymotion. And once again, I started downloading episodes left and right. In September of 2021, the stars aligned, and episodes from Season 7 were beginning to be available for download on the Internet Archive. Once I downloaded the first week of Season 7, I turned up my headphones and was blown away just as I had been before. Only now, it felt like the wildest wheel-watching party just busted into my house. This ecstasy comes at a price, though. You see, I've had a bad habit of downloading videos since I absolutely hate video buffering, and I've had to purchase bigger external hard drives just to hold the videos. My Wheel of Fortune folder alone is almost 200 gigabytes and growing. It takes a lot of room to store these videos, and it will get worse as uploaders post these full seasons online. But to me, it's well worth it. I've enjoyed watching Season 7, and I hope Season 10 is uploaded in full soon. I am hoping that more seasons that haven't been rerun on GSN in between fall of 1990 and fall of 1994, seasons 8, 9, and 11, are uploaded sometime in the future. But for now, I am grateful to the wheel watching community for uploading these treasures online. It doesn't show me how great Wheel of Fortune used to be before so-and-so producer got a hold of it, like some people will tell you. But it provides me with the excitement I got when I first saw these episodes when I was a kid. That provides me with a comfort that I sought for so long, even though I still enjoy watching current episodes of Wheel. Heck, I remember watching Wheel at my last job as it aired, and my manager and I always bet on which contestant would win the game, as well as who knew the puzzle. I suppose this was our personal wheel-watching party. Just no drinks since we were both on the clock. Please turn to page 6, because pages 4 and 5 contain a photo gallery. Page 6. Journey Goes Their Separate Ways. A Review of Frontiers by Journey. Released by CBS Records and Sony Music, originally released February 1983 by Matthew Martinez. Once again, it's the perfect combination of instrumentation and vocal melodies that have made this one of my favorite albums. The opening hooks of the songs on Side A have been ingrained into my brain. When I hear the opening notes of Separate Ways, Worlds Apart, I feel my blood pumping and my adrenaline race. This song was written, according to the first recorded performance of the song, A Day on the Green, in Oakland, California, June 26, 1982, about 2 weeks before its first performance. The only difference between this version and the one on the album is the lyrics in the second verse and some guitar parts that weren't on the album version. My favorite live version of the song is a toss-up between Philadelphia 1986 and Budokan 1983. I'm giving the edge to Budokan. Sender My Love is a haunting song where someone must break off a relationship because the person has to travel a lot. Which makes sense because touring for a long period of time can lead to personal conflicts in a committed relationship. And boy howdy, did Journey do a lot of touring during this period of time. Whew! Chain Reaction is the wild card of Side A. Sean's heavy guitar sound is prevalent in this song. The backup vocals may turn off some listeners because a normal listener is expecting bright vocals. However, I enjoy the unique sound of bassist Ross Valerie underneath Sean, Kane, and Perry's vocals. After the Fall deals with a failing relationship and the person's inability to end it, having not found the right time because the partner is a working man. For such a depressing subject, I find this song's melody rather vibrant. Faithfully is, I think, the signature ballad for Journey. Everyone else loves Open Arms from Escape, but Faithfully is my favorite ballad of all time. Jonathan, Neil, and Steve explained in an interview that Faithfully is a love letter to Journey fans all over the world. The piano sounds divine, and Perry's vocals are just as powerful as Schoen's guitar in the bridge. I tear up sometimes listening to this song, especially played live. Side B starts with Schoen's powerful guitar licks as Edge of the Blade opens the second half of the album. It warns a performer about achieving success too fast. It only has one set of verses and a repeating chorus and one lyric introducing the bridge, but the instruments pack a powerful punch. It's simplistic, but effective. Troubled Child is another haunting song. This song deals with a loner who is suffering from mental illness. It describes the subject as someone who faces an internal struggle, perhaps because other people made decisions for him. Perhaps his parents or guardians were too overbearing or had a stranglehold on his life, so he decided to rebel against them. Backtalk is pretty much everything my parents have shouted at me during my childhood, set to a rocking sound. The title track, Frontiers, vaguely deals with the reliance on machines. It also mentions that war is for fools, crisis is cool, barbarians play. Lyrics by Perry, Kane, Schoen, and Smith. Rubicon ends the album on a hopeful note. I'm not a fan of the instrumentation of this song, but what do I know? I ain't the one who recorded this song. As I read the lyrics, though, its message says, rise up or take the initiative. The latter I'm known to be good at. Just read the chorus. Make a move across the Rubicon. Future is knocking at your door. Take your time to choose the road you want. Opportunity is yours. Lyrics by Perry, Kane, and Schoen. Page 7. Around the time the Escape Tour ended, the time this album was recorded, and the subsequent tour, tension started to mount within the band. Even though Perry and his voice were recognizable, he felt the price of fame became too much. In VH1's Behind the Music, he mentioned that he started isolating himself from not only the fans, but the rest of the band too. His attempt to save a relationship with his girlfriend at the time resulted in Perry touring with an RV. It didn't work. Not even with a hit single named after her. Manager Herbie Herbert also discouraged Schoen from recording collaboration albums with Jan Hammer and Sammy Hagar. I don't find any fault with wanting to collaborate with other artists, especially if you have a monster hit album. I felt it lends credibility to the other artists you collaborate with. The Hammer collaboration spawned the single No More Lies, which was performed during the Frontiers tour. What's so puzzling is that Herbert didn't reprimand Perry when he collaborated with Kenny Loggins for the single Don't Fight It, also performed during the tour. Perry then went on to record the hit album Street Talk in 1984, which spawned the hit singles Oh Sherry and Foolish Heart. This, obviously, led Schoen to wonder, why can Steve make a hit record and Herbie's yelling at me for trying to make an album with other talented artists like myself? For the next album, Raised on Radio, Perry took charge of where the album was going, and asked more from bassist Ross Valerie and drummer Smith. When Perry felt that they didn't deliver, they were asked to leave the band. As much as you and I probably love Steve's performances, I must say I'm on the side of Valerie and Smith because no human can reproduce perfect rhythms made by a drum machine, something Perry demanded they do. For all the problems that plagued the band around this time, and some of the problems that plagued the band at the time of writing this article, Valerie and Smith are out of the band again. Journey still manages to release excellent sounding music. This album's hits are what got me interested in Journey to begin with. Since they played on San Antonio's KSMG Magic 105.3 FM and KQXT Q101.9 FM, I would often find myself seeking out a way to listen to their best songs. That opportunity came in 2002, when I purchased the Essential Journey. I wore that first disc of the two-disc set out, listening to it sometimes in class when I entered middle school. This album holds a special place in my heart as my favorite album of all time, and its first track holds a special place in my heart as my favorite song. Page 8. Ye Olden Web. What is it, and how do I find it? By Matthew Martinez. In 2002, I stumbled upon a rerun of the PBS series Ghost Rider entitled, Who is Max Mouse? This show featured a bulletin board system, BBS for short, an early way computers communicated with each other through email forums, chat rooms, and file depositories. I would sometimes research BBSs and would wish they still existed along with the services like America Online. Then, in 2017, I learned BBSs were alive and well due to a video published by Lazy Game Reviews demonstrating a parallel port modem that used Wi-Fi instead of phone lines to connect older computers via Telnet to BBSs. I had all but forgotten this until August 2021 when I rewatched a documentary series simply titled BBS by Jason Scott. I also watched a video called Back to the BBS Part 1, The Return to Being Online by Al's Geek Lab. That video featured an overview of what BBSs are and how to connect to a BBS, the advantages of dialing up a BBS versus posting on social media and the corporate-controlled internet, and, most importantly, it told me that BBSs are active and thriving, and where to find ones that I can connect to. To access BBSs, I use SyncTerm as my terminal emulator, available at syncterm.bbsdev.net. That's SyncTerm.bbsdev.net. Boards, like the Quantum Wormhole, have websites that feature a built-in terminal emulator, available at www.erb.pw/the-bbs. That's www.erb.pw/the-bbs. With this, you could sign up for an account and fart around before downloading SyncTerm and accessing boards through there. If you're interested in dialing up and signing up for other boards, I recommend the Telnet BBS Guide at telnetbbsguide.com. That's TelnetBBSGUIDE.com. Just thumb through and pick out a board that looks interesting and check it out. Some boards, like 24 Beers, still have a phone number that you can call if you want to dust off the old dial-up modem. And that's available at telnetbbsguide.com/bbs/24beers. That's TelnetBBSGUIDE.com/bbs/20-for-beers. Shout out to Meat Lotion from the Quantum Wormhole, Poly420 from 24 Beers, and Hijinks from Al's Geek Lab, and to all the other sysops and callers for welcoming me into the community. And now, time for the Kitty Corner.
Dear human, I'm happy to say that my long-nosed kitty friends are back, and that I made friends with the baby chicks and the mama chicken. They play in their yard until the human tries to scare them off. I hope the humans don't make them leave again. Signed, Princess Kinsey.
In the next issue, Christmas. What'd you expect? Oh yeah, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, etc., etc. Visit me on the web at mhmrules.neocities.org. That's mhmrules.neocities.org. And email me questions and comments at matthewmartinez56@yahoo.com. That's matthewmartinez56@yahoo.com. If you'd like to be added to the mailing list, log on to mhmrules.neocities.org/newsletter. That's mhmrules.neocities.org/newsletter, and hit the sign up text. Somewhere out there, the newsletter is published through Candy Bar Cheese Press. Somewhere out there, the podcast is produced by Candy Bar Cheese Productions. This is Matthew Martinez. Thanks for listening!